Hello, my name is Jane. Welcome to today's program. Today, the program is Foreign Lands. Today, we are going to talk about social determinants of health, and we're going to look at financial planning or finance as a social determinant of health. Now, when I, all this time I've been talking about the findings from my research that I did when I was doing my studies, but also my own experience and some more studies that were done when I was working as a community developer in the African Caribbean and Black Canadians in Canada, in Ontario. And we identified social determinants of health that determine, basically social determinants of health are just social aspects of our life that determine our health, and this could be housing, there could be income, there could be employment, there could be education, there could be mental health, there could be other things like family, there could be social circles or your social life. It could be culture, it could be language. In terms of some of the foreign lands that we live in, a language will determine your ability to speak the local language, or the language of the host country will definitely determine your health. Immigration status is something also that determines our health when we are living in foreign lands. Your race is something that is going to determine your health. Again, when you're living in some of the Western world, also ethnicity will also determine your health. We have even narrowed down to things like an accent. Your accent is going to determine how far you're going to go in your career, and what you can do and what you may not be able to do as a professional. So today we're going to talk about some of the things that I found that are extremely important. When all the time that I have worked as a community developer, we talked about the social determinants of health, and we looked at so many aspects of the immigrants' lives, and we found that sometimes immigrants were not able to attend, to go for annual physicals. A lot of people do not go for an annual physical examination because they do not think that they need it, and they say, I am fine, I don't feel sick, so why should I go and see a doctor? Other people are like, well, maybe I could, but I simply don't have time. I don't have time to go and see a doctor. I have my two jobs, I have my three jobs, and unless I'm feeling sick, I do not have time to go and see a doctor. Other people say, well, I don't want to ask for permission. You know, I don't want to ask my boss. I don't want to talk to my supervisor. I don't want them to think that I'm always asking for permission. So I will not go. I'll not go for a physical. And others, it's not just a physical. They will not go to the doctor even when they're not feeling well. So they'll say, well, I'll take some Tylenol. I'll take some Panadol. You know, if it persists, you know, we'll see how things go. But and they say, oh, sometimes when I take Tylenol, I feel better. And then when I go to work, when I come back home, I'm exhausted, but I take my Tylenol and sleep and I feel much better. And then I'm able to go back to work again. So that is very well. But the moment you're having a pain or a discomfort in your body that you cannot explain, you should be seeing a doctor. And then if there's anything that's coming up, it can be determined early enough, and then it can be managed early enough. There are a lot of statistics that tell about the health of the immigrant. When immigrants come to Canada, their health status is higher than that of the regular Canadian. For example, than that of the regular, especially in Canada, where we actually do a medical checkup before we apply to come to Canada or before we are accepted to come in and settle in this country. So you do your medical exam, and if you do not have a disease or a medical condition that is going to cost $20,000 in 5 years, that is going to cost $25,000, especially in our universal health health program, then you can actually come, you are admitted into Canada. If you have a medical condition then it's, that is going to cost up to 20,000 in 5 years, then you will not be admitted. You'll be deemed inadmissible. And I know that right now there are people are fighting that, but they're saying it is still a big strain to the universal healthcare. If someone comes in as a newcomer and they're supposed to benefit this country, and the first thing they do is go to the doctor all the time, and you know, the doctor's visits, the x-rays and the tests, all the blood work, all the tests are usually covered by the universal healthcare. Then what happens is then it will actually be costing the government a lot of money before you are able to contribute to the economy. You're already taking a lot from the economy. And I know that is kind of their argument, and that is why now the government is asking, has introduced the super visa, whereby people can invite their parents and grandparents to the country, but they insist that they must have a super visa. And a super visa means that you buy insurance for them, because the moment their grandparents or parents, they're usually in at a higher age, they are usually older, and in most cases then they have a medical condition coming up, or that's the time they actually want to have a checkup and find out what is going on. So that is one of the reasons why the super visa was introduced. Anyway, that's not even what I want to talk about today. So we want to talk about financial security as one of the things that the people that I surveyed said they came here, and one of their goals and one of their hopes is to acquire or achieve financial security. They want to have a decent income. They want to have employment. And for them to have employment, of course, they'll need some education. Whether it is it is on-the-job training, they need to have that. And I don't know if you read a book by Dr. Oz and someone else. I think it's, well, he has co-authored a very, very good book called You Being Beautiful. They talk about... when you're healthy, you are beautiful. When you're happy, you are beautiful. So they talk about so all the things that you need to do to be happy. And then the moment you're happy, you are healthy. The moment you're healthy, you are beautiful. You know, so that is pretty interesting. If you have time, you can, if you have a chance, maybe you can purchase that book. I'm not selling it for Dr. Oz and Co. I'm just telling you that it's a book that I would recommend you have a look at. So one of the things that happen in our lives is financial stress. And there are a lot of stresses that we can have. But even my experience working with people as a counselor, I find that financial stress is one of the greatest stress that you can have. So when your finances are not in order, when you do not know how you're going to pay your bills, when you have your telephone company calling you because your bill is unpaid, when you are calling your telephone company and telling them to disconnect the phone, and they are telling you no, you are on contract, they cannot disconnect it, then you are going to have financial stress. And when you have financial stress, it kind of tends to be the biggest stress that you can have. Statistics also tell us that a lot of families break down, a lot of couples divorce, and families fall apart because of financial stress. They actually say that up to 75% of marriages fail because of financial issues. A lot of people who are involved in divorce and separation, they may not even identify financial issues as the cause of their stress, as the cause of their fighting, but at the end of the day, it actually ends up being that is what is bringing about all the fighting. If you read the book that I've just referred to, You Being Beautiful, they actually say, if you do not discuss your money, if you do not, we all, and people think it's only Africans, but we all see money and finances as a taboo subject. Even when people meet and they start dating and they become big good friends, they really, really don't want to look at money and finances as a topic that they should be discussing. A lot of times they say, you know, it's okay, your money is my money, it's our money, or, you know, let's sort it out as we go. And usually that is a mistake. So one of the things that we should do is look at our monies, open our eyes wide, and look at our financial condition and address it. That means planning doing your financial planning. One of the ways that you can do financial planning is first monitor your expenditure during a month. So whatever is going on, make sure that you note. So start maybe today is the 17th or it's the 7th, whichever day it is, from today up to the next month, the same day next month, take note of everything that you're purchasing. Open a notebook and just write everything that you're purchasing. At the end of the month, at the end of that one month, go through what you have purchased. If you can analyze it, you know, look at this is groceries, this is foodstuffs, this is entertainment, this is bills. Just have a look at what you have done with your money during that month. And when you do that, the analysis, you will decide what is worth doing with your money and what is not. You'll be able to know where you are spending your money and where you are wasting your money. A lot in this country, you may be able to actually find that information easily. If you're using your credit card or your debit card, you will have your statement online, or you can have your statement come to you by paper and you can have a look at it. It's even better to have the receipt. So if you go to a grocery store, have a receipt from the grocery store. So you go through all the grocery shoppings that you have done within that time that you have set aside. And then, so you see, okay, I have spent $800 on groceries. And then you'll be like, do I need to spend this amount of money on groceries? Then go through the groceries themselves. Look at each receipt. I went to Walmart, I went to this other store, I went to this other store. What did you purchase? What did you purchase? When you look at everything that you purchased, did you need to buy all that stuff? What can you do without? What can you live without? So that is one thing of analyzing your financial status and how you are spending your money. So when you look at your gas, for example, you will see how much are you spending on gas. If you feel like you're spending too much on gas, what do you need to do? Consider the kind of routes that you're going to take. Sometimes park and ride, you know, find, is there a place where you can park your car and take the bus? You know, so you'll have a look at that and decide what you need to do to cut down on your expenditure. The other thing is, so everything else, you know, including your hydro bills, your electricity bill, why is your bill so high? Is there something that can be done to reduce it? Your phone, these days you don't pay too much for speaking on the phone, but you pay for data. So how much are you paying for data? Are you going over your data? Is your family going over the data? What do you need to do to cut down? You know, do you need to call another company, negotiate a better price, or call the same company? My experience has been that I can actually call the same company and tell them, I think I'm paying too much. If you don't reduce it for me, I'm going to go to another company. Or, you know, I'm really not doing very well right now. I need to cut down on my bills, and you need to reduce my cable bill for me. If you don't, I'm going to disconnect the cable. And usually they'll be like, okay, ma'am, we'll give you six months at a reduced price. I've even been told we'll give you 3 months free. You know, but whatever it is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to ask. Do not be afraid to negotiate. And people say, well, this is not Africa. It does not matter. You can negotiate. I remember going to pay to purchase a mattress, a bed, and at the brick, at a big store. And I'm like, oh, I'm purchasing this for my daughter, and she's going to school, and I have many children, you know, can you just, you know, can you decrease the price for me? And they decreased it, and they decreased it more and more. Like, it was like $60 off, you know. So it is possible, you can still bargain. This, it's not true that you cannot bargain here. So, but also look at what you need. Do you need to purchase all these things? Do you need to keep up with the Jones, as they say? Do you need to do things because other people are doing it? So think about planning, doing your financial planning. The other thing that you need to do is once you see where your money is going, decide whether that is exactly where you want the money to go. If that is not where you want it to go, then you have to plan. What are you going to cut down on? Now, does this involve having a meeting? Does this involve having a serious discussion with your spouse or your partner? Does this involve you having a talk with your children and telling them, now this has to end. We need some adjustments in this family. You know, you cannot take a shower. You cannot take a 1 hour shower. You know, you cannot just stand on the shower and let the water flow at peak hours, you know, when hydro is expensive, when the water is being heated at an expensive rate. You know, you cannot do your laundry in the middle of a weekday, you know, when hydro is extremely expensive. You know, so those are some of the things that you need to talk about. You cannot start baking. You're not going to bake everything in the middle of the day when hydro is really expensive. So those are the things that you're going to talk about. You are not going to be picking up the children left, right, and center. So you tell them, I'm talking about older children. If the children are older, plan your trip. The gas bill is very high. You people are old enough. Let us agree on how I can pick you up, how you can come closer to home, that I can pick you up closer to home so that I'm not driving all the way. It may be comfortable, but sometimes it's not faster. It's not faster for me to pick you up. It's faster for you to take the bus and then I meet you somewhere. You know, so look at how you can plan your finances. And you will find that people who live here, people who have been here longer do that. They do that. Even the very rich people are the ones who really plan their money and who don't just misuse money. They really look at what every dollar is doing for them. Again, if you have a spouse, if you have a partner, right from the time you start thinking seriously about coming together and getting married or getting engaged or even living together, start thinking about what shall we do when we start living together. What can we do together right now as we plan our future? You know, are we going to save money and buy a house? Okay, if we're going to rent, how much are we going to pay? Are we going to open one joint account that is going to help us with the bills? You know, what percentage of our income should we contribute for that joint account? You know, so you have to know, you have to plan how to do that. A lot of marriages, a lot of relationships break up because of money and because of debts, because of not having clear communication about money. So when your partner, whether it is your husband or your wife, whether it is the lady or the man, when they go out and spend money, you know, when your husband comes home with a brand new car or with a big car that you didn't expect they were going to buy and they did not inform you then you start a fight right there. How come you never asked me? How come you didn't tell me? You know, and they'll be like, I thought you always wanted a big car. Yes, maybe I did, but we didn't discuss it. You know, you never told me. Now you're telling me all your money is committed to pay the car that you didn't expect they were going to buy. That's not right, you know. And for us ladies, you go and do your big shopping and you buy the best shoes and all that because you have this ladies' night at church coming up and you want to look really nice. Again, you have to discuss it with your partner. And I'm not saying the only thing that ladies can buy is clothes. If you see a nice Jeep, a nice 4x4 Jeep, you know, that you have always wanted to buy as a woman, and you go and start negotiating for it and saying, this is Canada, I don't need a man to buy me a car. I don't even need a man to accompany me when I'm going to purchase my car. Just know that you're going to have problems at home. So have a discussion, have a conversation with your husband, with your partner, and say, you know what? My dream car is a Subaru, they call it Subaru here. My dream car is a Subaru, and I've always wanted to have this car. So, you know, when I do my taxes, I want to put a deposit and buy my dream car. Have that conversation. And don't say, honey, I got it because it's supposed to be a surprise for you, and yet it's actually your own car. Think about the repercussions of doing that. Money is a big thing, and money, we should talk about money. We should talk about this mighty dollar. We should talk about the money that we are sending home. We should talk about the relatives who we are helping, the one we like, the ones we like, and the ones we don't like very much. You know, and so be very, very open. I know as families will say, I cannot stand my sister. She stole my money last time. And then secretly you're still sending her money and you don't want your wife to know that you're sending because you had a conversation and you both agreed that your sister is not a good person because she's not helping herself. So we won't keep sending her money. And then you know, as a sibling, you feel sorry and you send money. Have this conversation. Otherwise, you're going to have problems in your relationship. Pay your bills. In this country, you have to pay your bills. If you don't pay your bills, you're going to get into trouble. You're going to have a poor credit rating. You're going to have bad credit. The moment you have bad credit, you're going to be in problems. You will not be able to get credit, and here you need credit to do what you need to do. If you have poor credit or bad credit, there are some places that you can actually not get employed because they think that you can easily be compromised because you seem to have a problem managing your finances. So make sure that you're paying your bills. Now, another thing that we need to talk more and more about is retirement. You must plan for retirement. Save some money. They say that we should save 10% of our income. Yes, we should save 10% of our income. Now, when it comes to planning for retirement, there should be an amount of money that you should put steadily for retirement. So when you're planning your bills, when you're looking at your bills and saying, this is the phone bill, this is the gas bill, this is the mortgage, there must be a retirement amount that actually gets taken by the bank or by the investment place where you have put the money, even before the money comes to you. So make sure that is there. Another amount that you should pay, that you should have is saving for a rainy day. I hear they don't say rainy day, they say for an emergency. Now, when your furnace breaks down, when your car breaks down, when you need to take the next flight back home, those are the emergencies that might come up. When those emergencies come up, you want to have money to take care of them. We are fortunate here that you have a credit card that you can just swipe, but you're going to swipe the credit card or scan it and spend the money, but later you're going to worry about it. So as much as possible, find a way of saving 10% for emergencies and another 10% for retirement, planning for retirement. And I know some people say, well, I work for the government and I am guaranteed a pension. That is all very well. But do not forget that things are changing, circumstances are changing. The government has the power to change things. You may have your retirement. There's a time, I think, in 2008 when some retirement projects fell apart. And what happened is pensioners lost their money. So a lot of pension money is placed in one place. And when there's a financial problem, all this money can be lost, and then you find that you're not getting that much money. Now, for us immigrants who came here when we were already grown up, when we had already completed our education and had started working, we were in our late 30s, early 40s, and so on. You have not worked long enough to earn a lot of money. So if you are making your $70,000 a year, and that money is being saved for you, your pension plan is in place, your work pension plan is in place, when you retire, you will not get $75,000 per year. You will not get that. You're going to get much less. It is a percentage. It is. They count, there's a way that they calculate it, and it will depend on how many years you have worked and how many years you have earned. I think they take only 3 years, three of your best years, plus I think something else. That is what they put together and decide how much they're going to pay you per year. So you have to be prepared for that. Also remember, if you're making 70,000 or 75,000 per year right now, 75,000 per year in 20 years will not be enough for you. You will not be able to do what you're doing right now at that time. You won't be able to do what you're doing. You'll not be able to pay for everything the way you're doing right now. So you must find a way of setting aside some money for yourself. Now, we know that anything can happen to us. We are human. If you were to fall sick or have an accident, this can change everything. So have some money put aside so that if you were to fall sick, just get a diagnosis that you were not expecting and you cannot work anymore, your pension status is going to change. They may say, okay, here is your money. That's all we can give you. So you're still not old enough to retire. So you have to find a way to survive. You may be able to get on disability in some of these Western countries, in the US, in Canada, you may be able to get into a social disability program. But as soon as you turn the retirement year, the disability, so social welfare program ends, and you have to go and fall back onto your pension. So that the pension is what is going to help you. People say there is old age security. Old age security is not a lot of money. Pension, I'm told that the highest amount you can get as a CPP, Canada Pension Plan, is about $30,000. So do not think that you have so much money, because that is supposed to add on to your other financial planning that you have done, other pension plan that you have put for yourself. So save, put some money aside. Okay, so we're going to end it there. So we'll talk more next week. Thank you very much. Again, my name is Jane Karago Odongo. This program is known as Foreign Lands, and it's going to be repeated again during the week. Please tune in to mkarimu.net and visit my website www.shadash.com. S-H-A-D-A-S-H. S-H-A-D-A-S-H. Thank you. Until next time. Bye.